At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Now Taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is Taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
This is Terrence Marshall, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. I'm Alex Dunlap here with Cody Carpentier as we are returning to your podcast feeds here after a little bit of time off from the holidays and as we're transitioning into our off-season content. We'll talk about a little bit more about what to expect with that in a second, but first we have to tell you about our great sponsors over at Underdog Fantasy. Make sure and go sign up over at Underdog Fantasy using promo code ROSTER for a 50% deposit bonus up to $1,000. They have all kinds of awesome games going on right now. They have drafts going on for playoffs, for playoff best ball. They have, of course, the pick 'em stuff. That's what we're mainly focused on. Been just on fire the last, we've been on fire for the season, hitting it now 62% across our underdog picks dating back to week one. But these last 2 weeks have been, we've had better weeks, but I mean, these 2 weeks have been what, 70%+, Cody? It's been a print fest. So make sure and go check those out. You can get those with a pro membership at rosterwatch.com. Some other things going on. Dynasty Top 250 is being updated right now by Trashman and Cody. Cody said he went through and did a big cleanup today of his as we head into Dynasty season. Can't promise the same for Trashman because he is, of course, a disgusting piece of human excrement. But we are we are staying on him to get that updated. And Cody and Trashman will have their first of the Dynasty Top 250 updates starting next Thursday here on the YouTube channel. So stick around for that. We're going to have all of our DFS tools up this weekend. So if you're still playing, DFS and you want to use the Hyper DFS lineup generator, use the DFS cheat sheets, all that'll be up. The prop picks will be up for the weekend as well. So we still have a bunch of NFL action, but of course we turn our attention now in this part of the season to our off-season schedule, which, Cody's about to get on the road here in the next few weeks to go to the Shrine Bowl. He's going to meet up with me after that at the Senior Bowl. We'll have a couple weeks off and basically spend 7 days in Indianapolis at the Combine before hitting up the Pro Day Tour and eventually ending up with our live draft coverage. So we're going to have you guys covered from every angle as far as these rookies. This will be a first of a series that we do, starting to prospect these guys. And as we always do, we start out with the Senior Bowl guys and the Shrine Bowl guys. So these are two guys we wanted to talk about today. They're going to be at the Senior Bowl this year. We have Tez Johnson from Oregon, who we saw play yesterday. And then we have also Kyren Lacy from LSU. Cody did the Tez Johnson write-up. I did the Kyren Lacy write-up. We both watched both players. And Cody, let's just start out with Tez. Watched him yesterday. Kind of felt like, honestly, man, all of Oregon yesterday, I don't know, man, what you even thought about that game. Ohio State looks like they are absolutely just hitting it all cylinders at just the right time. But Tez Johnson, to me, even as I look at it within the prism of within his own offense, he, to me at least, he was kind of a little bit outshined by number one, Trayshawn Holden, to a certain degree. But Tez, what did he have yesterday in the playoff?
Nothing. 5 for 32.
5 for 32 with a long at 12. And so why don't you talk a little bit about Tez? What it is that you like most about him? I'll just say, like, it's a pretty easy eval for me. He's small. He's super, super fast. He's juiced up and quick. Did you see the thing on the pregame shows yesterday when they were talking about how he's like brothers with Bo Nix?
Yep.
I'll be interested to see what your grade is on him, but I'll bet you if he's a day three guy, Bo Nix is going to go and he's going to say, dude, I don't care if we already have a Marvin Mims type of player here. Like we got to go get my guy Tez. I bet you he's in Sean Payton's office doing that for sure. What is your overall, you know, scouting evaluation?
So Tez Johnson, obviously of Oregon, formerly of Troy, he spent 3 years at Troy. He's 5'10", 165 pounds. First and foremost, the player I saw in him was his former teammate, which is always the easy kind of helmet comp that you get to sometimes. Troy Franklin, very similar body type, very lengthy throughout the bottom quarter, I think. Fast. I kind of projected him as like a 4.30, 4.32. I did a Troy Franklin times. This was very much – Don't read too much into this side of this, but Xavier Worthy. And just because of the way they use him a little bit in this Oregon offense at times this year, obviously that speed, it's not going to be supersonic like Xavier Worthy's was, but I do think that Tez is going to be pushing to be the fastest receiver in this class. But he is, again,
Tez like, wasn't Troy Franklin like 6'2"? How tall is Tez?
Tez is 5'10", 165.
Okay.
Troy Franklin was, I think, like 6'1.25". I think something like that, 6'1.25", 166.
Here's 6'1 7/8", 176.
Yeah, so 10 more pounds on him. But anyway, I thought very similar. I did like an Xavier Worthy time, Troy Franklin. I think Kelvin Austin warrants as well. I think you put that one on there. I ended up with a third-round grade on him. He did break out at 19 years old, which was just redshirt freshman season. But if you rewind it back to the high school stuff and back to like the Troy stuff, he was all Sun Belt in 2022, which is what it is. It's the Sun Belt. But going back, he was a three-star recruit out of high school. He had a rough upbringing. He spent time in like government subsidized housing in Alabama, which led to him attending Pinson High School. Pinson High School is where Patrick Nix, Bo Nix's dad, coached. And he, of course, then played with Bo Nix in high school. Bo went to Auburn, and then Tez went south down to Troy, which is they're like an hour apart. Bo, of course, transfers to Oregon a year later. Tez transfers to Oregon. So they're a year apart from each other. Nix, of course, went pro last year and goes to Denver. That's why Alex brought up Denver a minute ago. Very similar paths. Obviously, the family overlay thing is there. They are technically stepbrothers. Like, this, it's just in like a – I don't even know if there was an official adoption thing there, but they're technically like a stepbrothers. They consider each other brothers and stuff like that. I think he's lethal at times on the field, and just because of that speed that he uses – and he can get to an open field. He can create after the catch, which I thought was kind of incredibly interesting given who he is and how he's built. He was fourth in college football this year with yards after catch, 586. He averaged 7.6 per reception. That was kind of a thing that kind of jumped out the screen to me while I was looking through the numbers on this guy. Is like, I did not expect to see a guy of this size creating that much after the catch. Again, there's no density here. It's literally just him evading and not getting tackled. One of the higher graded things I have on him in particular is literally, again, shockingly, is the yak side of things. I think he creates great separation. Yak, I like his route running, his ball tracking. I think those four things together can consist in him being successful. It's some things that you've kind of remember out of Kelvin Austin could create after the catch.
What about Tank Dell?
I was going to say Tank Dell was a separator that could skate. This guy, I'm not sure if he can quite skate like Tank could within those routes. I would love to see that. Again, here in 3.5 weeks when we're down there in Mobile, we'll be able to tell that, because that was like, I remember literally sitting next to you and being like, dude, this dude just skates. Like, they can't guard him. It was like Tank and what Jaden Reed that year. And Tank was like the clear cut above everybody else from a route running perspective. I think he's got a pretty expansive route tree. I think he worked a good chunk out of the backfield. Not sure that's going to be quite a thing you'll see in the NFL, but they do use him. Like I said, with the Worthy thing, it's like, you remember at Texas, Worthy was used a lot on bubbles, a lot on jet motions, a lot of these near the line of scrimmage things that allowed Worthy to get the ball and go upfield. I always remember the one play against Wyoming where everybody had angles on him until nobody had angles on him. And that's something that I think Tez has to a certain extent. You think about the return game on special teams. He's had 33 punt returns in his career, averages over 10 yards per return, scored a touchdown. That's another thing that, of course, helps you and gives you an upper hand when you do get to the NFL. The con side of Tez, obvious, the frame is what it is. 79% of his snaps came from the slot in 2024, which is down from 93% year over year. So he's moving more outside. But again, that was there was no Troy Franklin there this year. Evan Stewart was there, and Trayshon Holden, who you talked about before. He did have 23 career drops throughout his entire career, 11 during the last two seasons at Oregon. He's at 198 targets, so 23 drops on 198 targets. When you look at his team market share metrics, solid, 25% of the receptions, 24% of the yards, 36% of the touchdowns. I think he's a good receiver, but I think he's going to be limited. We've seen the Tank Dell thing work wonders with a quarterback that really wanted him in Houston, right? And when you had Nico there, I think the Nico and Tank Dell dynamic works. I'm not sure that a Tez dynamic is going to work off the rip like the Tank Dell thing. Like we were able to kind of like claim the Tank Dell thing because we saw him at the Senior Bowl. He went on to have success early. He had 1,000 yards as a rookie. As a fourth round pick, I don't know if that's in the cards for Tez right away, unless it's with a Bo Nix in Denver where he's got the established connection. But then you brought it up. Troy Franklin's there. Marvin Mims is there.
Yeah, I forgot.
Who knows what happens with Courtland Sutton? Like, yeah. A lot of dudes that are redundant in that offense. It's like you look at a place like last year, Ladd McConkey. They're not exactly the same player, but Ladd's undersized, 4'3", 5'11", 186 pounds. Ladd in that offense in Los Angeles, it worked. It can work. I don't feel great about it. I got like a third round grade on Tez. I think he's a good receiver, but he's just, it's the same thing, man. With the Calvin Austins, with the Tank Dells, Kevontae Turpin. Like there's all these guys that are, there's a lot there, but you just wish they were 15 pounds heavier.
Yeah. And that's what, I mean, and that's why, I mean, I'm fine with you having the Troy Franklin comp. I think their bodies are different. I mean, I understand it's just a play style thing, and it's easy to see. Like, he stepped into that role, right?
That's all my comps ever are, too. Like, I'll say that from the jump. I'll say this in every show, but all my comps will ever always be play style from what I see on the tape. It's never going to be like a number based thing. I know there's websites like, obviously, Player Profile that's completely number based. Whatever I see is kind of the direction I go with the comps.
I mean, no, I get it. It's fine. You and I are slightly different in that. And that, like, if there's a dude who's like, you know, if the sizes are completely different, but they play similarly, I kind of have to have the guys be similar, you know, pretty similar. And I think that Franklin's maybe for me personally, it's a little bit too much of a difference as far as their size for me to comp them, but it's fine if that's your process.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
This just in, Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime.
Deal extended till January 17th.
See Home Club for details.
The guy that I worked on was Kyron Lacy. And look, if you just watch his, like, I think an important part of this is like making sure to watch some of the all 22s And like, because if you're going to watch Kyron Lacy and just watch the highlight reels, you're going to come out of it thinking that he's a guy that could be like a first round pick or something. He, you know, there's some good highlight plays from him. And
Neighbors for like a split second.
I wouldn't think Neighbors. not from the highlights.
There's like spurts in like the way he runs. I think that like, if you just watched highlights, you could like fly, you know what I'm saying? Like the flyby people that just throw in the highlights, boom, they watch a minute and they're done. Like, I think you could pull that because the natural instinct does obviously all the success these LSU receivers have had.
Yeah.
We talk about it, but I don't think it's even close.
Well, but yeah. Well, that's kind of the first thing. It's like that has to be sort of a on the pro side of his ledger, right? Is that like he was the top dog alpha receiver for LSU, and that's a program that is, you know, that's a program that's just churned these dudes out. And we've seen this year, it's like the best rookie wide receiver in the AFC and the best rookie wide receiver in the NFC both came from LSU, right? You got Ja'Marr Chase, you got Justin Jefferson, you know, kicking around out there. This is a guy that, I mean, Kyron Lacy, so he started out at the University of Louisiana, played there for 2 years, transferred into LSU, was there for a time. I think that he was there, certainly there whenever, yeah. So Kayshon Booty was the year before in 2023, a 2023 sixth rounder. So he had him to deal with. But then he had Malik Neighbors and he had Brian Thomas Jr. ahead of him. That guy's not going to get on the football field. And the fact that he was even in 2023, the fact that he was even like kind of like a true wide receiver three, really, behind those guys. I mean, he had as good a statistical season as Kayshon Booty. Like, it's like, you know, the fact that he's a wide receiver three there. Let me just make sure that that's right.
Right. Yeah, he was third.
Okay. So it's like, I think that something you have to grant something for that, right? And you have to grant him something for the fact that he comes in there and he can step in and he can take on sort of the lead dog role this year. What you like best about him, watching him on tape, he's got really good stem work at the line of scrimmage. He can get off the line of scrimmage. I should have gone over. So he's listed at 6'2", 215. I think that's probably about right. So obviously, you know, good size, you know, good size for what that matters. He's not fast. I think he's probably going to run a 4.55. Which isn't, you know, which is not disqualifying by any means, but I, you know, he doesn't really have really good breakaway speed. What you like most about him is just his stem work, the line of scrimmage, his feet. He has what I can call kind of like controlled explosiveness out of his breaks, meaning he can, meaning you could tell he's twitched up, you could tell he's explosive, but he doesn't do it in a herky – it's not a herky-jerky way. Like, he can do stuff that looks, you know, like he has dynamism in and out of his cuts, but where it also looks smooth. He's a good route runner. He is versatile enough to play in the slot. He can play outside. I think he played about a quarter of his snaps in 2023 whenever he was kind of thrust into that lead role from the outside, but they also use him out of the slot. I think he's you like his competitiveness. He plays with some competitiveness and fire. Like I wrote down that he's just kind of scrappy. He's a good enough run blocker. SEC academic honor roll. I mean, that kind of says something. It feels like he's probably a good guy to have on the team, right? As far as the things that concern you, well, I guess I asked you before we got on. I'm like, Cody, what's his superpower, dude? I'm like, at least with Tez, I can say he's fat. Like, he's just fast as can be. He's gonna run by you. I wonder with him, Kyron Lacy, what exactly his superpower is. I'm really interested to see him at the Senior Bowl because he looks like one of these guys that's a really good football player, and I want to see him with my own two eyes. I want to see his hands. He's got a 9% drop rate last season per PFF. So that's not, again, not, you know, it's not great. It's not ideal, but it's not terrible. We usually start to say once it creeps up to 12.5%, 13% drop rate, that's when you start to worry. Late breakout age, you know, that can be discounted a little bit due to his due to just the teammates that he had at LSU and also to the fact, you know, he's in college for 5 years. didn't break out for real until his final season. Although in his second season at Louisiana, you know, we consider to somebody to have broken out. So we take the average of the team market share of receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. And we just take those and take the average of all of them. And if it's above 20%, that counts as a breakout season, right? In his second year at Louisiana, even though the counting stats weren't good as far as the percentage of team opportunities, he was at like 17.9%. So like he was really close to breaking out as a sophomore. But no true breakout until this last year. He's going to turn 25 by the end of his rookie season. Now towards the very end, right? Like he'll turn 25 in week 17, but he will turn 25 during his rookie season. You know, I think 30 catches for 588 yards and 7 touchdowns on the same team with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. says something, right? But he's not elusive after the catch at all. The PFF numbers will tell you that for sure. So, all right, so in PFF, 4.4 yards after catch per reception, and that was ranked 244th out of 393 qualifiers. His missed tackles forced, he had 5, that was 308th. So those two things alone will tell you that he doesn't force missed tackles. He doesn't get very many yards after catch, right? The most impressive part of his profile this last season was his 35% of the receiving touchdowns for LSU. He had 9 receiving touchdowns, but 3 of those, a full 1/3 of those came against Nicholls State, right? So it's like, I always look at where the production comes with these guys, and that's not to say he's a bum hunter and to say he only profiles as that kind of guy, but it's just something to keep in mind. Like that's his most impressive counting stat is that he kind of, you know, 35% of the receiving touchdowns is pretty awesome. The other thing where you just kind of take a step back and look at it is a pretty basement level yards per route run last season, 1.95. It's not completely abysmal, but starting to get pretty, pretty bad. And yards per route run is one of the ones that we look at as being very, very predictive over the years. So I kind of throw my hands up and say a little bit with Kyron Lacy. I think he looks like a good football player. I like him. I'm not sure where I really hang my hat with this dude, though. And I'm just, you know, this is the importance of getting out to Mobile, getting those days of practices, getting to shake these dudes' hands, talk to them, see what they're all about. And we'll, of course, continue to have all kinds of coverage from there. Whenever I think about him in the NFL, from what I think right now from film, like I've watched three or four, all 22 games. And just from seeing him during, like I've watched a bunch of these LSU games during the season.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like a player who can be a good complementary option. And if he goes to the right NFL offense, I think the most, it's reuniting with the former quarterback, but I mean, to think about Washington, and think this is reunite with Jaden Daniels, get him as a counterpiece to Terry McLaurin, who's the over the top, you know, take the top off the defense. And you have this dude who's like, he's a lot better versus man than he is versus zone. You got your man beater in Kyron Lacy, a dude who can be a potential chain mover for you. The depth chart there is wide open. I think, you know, stylistically, that could be sort of an enticing pairing, having him with that kind of guy, and just the stuff with Jaden Daniels also being there makes sense for me. So I think that for fantasy, for dynasty, I think he's going to actually kind of be good at the Senior Bowl. Right. And I think coming out of it, he's probably going to be a dude who we're looking at in traditional non-superflex 12 team leagues. The guys are going to start trying to take in these early pre-NFL drafts in like round 3 and 4. You know what I mean?
I think that's right.
And so much of it's going to depend on his, you know, his eventual draft capital and landing spot. Right. So I think if you're listening to this after the NFL draft, I think his ceiling is mid day 2 for where he would get picked. It would take a team falling in love with him to go mid day 2. I'm not like Cody. I don't put grades on these guys. Maybe I should start doing it. But if I was going to put a grade on him, I'd say 3rd, 4th.
Yeah.
3rd, 4th. Like just on the precipice of maybe day 2 is kind of where I see Kyron Lacy.
I think that's exactly I literally give him a 5.99, which is like literally on the right here between fourth and fifth. I think he's a fine backup, man. What was your comp? Because the comp I came up, I got David Moore. I was like sitting here trying to stress over it, think about it. And I was like, David Moore, who's obviously like bounced around. He's been like Seattle and Carolina and kind of what you just said, like a good, not a number two, but like a good four, like a good number four.
I got a Carolina guy.
A good number four.
For former Carolina guy, I guess.
Yeah. Did he catch a football for the Raiders last week?
Did Terrace Marshall Jr. catch a ball for the Raiders last week?
Yeah, he did.
I thought he went to the Saints, and so I guess he went to the Raiders too.
He did. He's bouncing around too, but it's like a 16-yard out route. And I was like, is that
he reminds me a ton of Terrace Marshall Jr. And I that could be jersey stuff. The other one,
less athletic, less athletic Terrace Marshall.
Maybe, yeah.
It's kind of what Terrace's I mean, that was sort of what his. Not entirely, but sort of what his profile was built on, Terrace's, was athleticism, because it was kind of he had 700 yards, but it was kind of like, well, this guy's a good athlete, got pushed up in the second round. Like, that's going to be where Kyron's going to miss out, I think, here.
What about this one that's a little bit more, just stuff about better, you know, good man beater. I think he can be an NFL chain mover type that runs good routes with really good stem work. Miles Austin.
I think that's fine. I feel like I comped somebody to Miles Austin like last year. I can't remember who it was.
And then finally the one that you're going to hate the most, Cody, but the body size to me looked the same. The way he moves and runs just kind of looks the same. This is more of a thing where less about traits, more about sort of size, the way they move. And the way that I think he'll test, what about your guy, Javon Baker?
I don't think he's as talented at, yeah. He's good. I don't think he's as talented at the catch point. Athleticism, I think you're right. Kind of a moot in the run game. That's a pretty good comp.
Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.